Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Did anything else happen that night?
rightful to the crown that Jesus wore. There is no end, and it's also evergreen, a reminder of God's everlasting love.
Evergreen, just like the Christmas tree.
And Jesus died on the tree for us. Maybe that's why the tree is so important.
And you need some place to put the presents.
So what about the candles? We don't need them with the electricity.
That is true. But what do the candles remind us of?
I know. In Sunday school, we learned that Jesus is the light of the world. And when we see a candle, we think of the light and how it can help you see in the dark if the electricity is out and they're used in the olden days.
Why do they have bells and songs?
Well, bells are used to send messages. For example, church bells tell us when it's time to come to church. And what better way to send the good news of Jesus' birth? And the songs we sing tell us the story to others who may not know.
What is your favorite song?
I like Silent Night.
Thank you.
the third Sunday in heaven, comes from Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and all contained, the world and those who dwell in it. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who may ascend into the earth? Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood, and has not sworn deceitfully. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, even Jacob. Lift up your head, O gates, be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your head, lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors. The King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Second reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. But to me, it is a very small thing that I may be examined by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even examine myself, for I am conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not acquitted by this. But the one who examines me is the Lord. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. And then each man's praise will come to him from God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who does not take offense at me." As these men were going away, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Those who wear soft clothing are in king's palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you. And one who is more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended into heaven. of Jesus. Amen. So today we're going to finish up with Psalm 24, the first Sunday of Advent. We began it. Psalm 24 is the assigned psalm for that Sunday. We sing Psalm 24, part of it at least, in our hymn. Lift up your heads, ye mighty gates. And it's also part of Handel's Messiah. If you guys, if anybody in here hasn't heard Handel's Messiah, make sure you listen to it this December. It's a really wonderful piece of music. Psalm 24 has three sections to it. Verses 1 and 2 is about Yahweh, who is the creator of the earth and thus the owner of all it contains and everyone it contains. And then verses 3 to 6 were about the people of Yahweh. Who can ascend the holy hill of the Lord but his holy people? And then today, we focus on those last verses, verses 7 to 10, the advent of Yahweh. And so the sermon title today is Yahweh Draws Near. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, forgive us when we're not cognizant of the fact that you indeed draw near to us in your word, in your sacrament, in worship. We are receivers, and so give us the ears and the hearts to receive. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in order to understand what's going on in this last part of Psalm 24, I want to draw your attention to two passages. They're on the back of your bulletin. If you don't mind looking at that. And if you do not mind looking at it, please look at it anyways. First one, there's Numbers chapter 10, verse 35 to 36. Now, I could just give you the answer, but I don't want you to be robots. I want you to know the answer from the Scriptures, okay? We're the people of God growing in the Word, not just being fed answers, right? And so, let's read those two verses together. Then it came about, when the ark set out, that Moses said, "Rise up, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you." And when it came to rest, he said, "Return, O Lord, to the myriad thousands of Israel." Now, this has been called the Song of the Ark. And, of course, we're obviously talking about the Ark of the Covenant, not the Noah's Ark. And that was a gold box. It's carried on poles set at the bottom of the ark, and it contained the commands, it contained Aaron's rod, and it contained at times some of the manna from the wilderness. And it was the most sacred object in all of Israelite religion, all of the Old Testament religion. And note there that when Moses and his people were moving it, what they would say. They would say, "Rise up, O Lord." They would address God when they moved the ark. And why would that be? Because the ark is a symbol of God's presence, and indeed God promised that his special presence would reside above the ark, certainly at certain times and places. His presence would be there for the salvation of his people, whether that meant going into battle or whether that meant in the system of sacrifices at the temple. Now, with that in mind, turn to 2 Samuel chapter. Don't turn to it. It's just right there. I'm not going to have you read that one. I'm going to read it, but please follow along. By the way, the context of this passage. The context of this passage is King David and the people of Israel bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem for the first time, into Jerusalem for the first time. And some scholars believe that this was really the background of Psalm 24. It certainly could be, because Psalm 24 is about the Ark of the Covenant coming into Jerusalem. And this is why we're looking at those two passages to illustrate this. So, in 2 Samuel 6:2, it says, "And David arose and went with all the people who were with him to Baal Judah," name of a town, "to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name," which is called by what?
The name.
"The very name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned above the cherubim." So, they would call the Ark by the very name of God. Just an interesting aside, by the way. The name. One way that the people of old, and even still some Jews today, will refer to God is simply by the term "the name." In Hebrew, one word, Hashem, they would say, so that if they were talking about God, they would just simply not use the word God, but they would use the word Hashem, the name. Reminds us, by the way, of something in the New Testament, the baptismal formula, baptizing them in the name. One God, the name, Yahweh, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now that was free chicken, okay? No extra charge. But let's get to the point as it deals with affects our song here. They referred to the Ark by the name of God. They didn't do it because the Ark was divine. They did it because the Ark symbolized the presence of God. And indeed, God promised, the God who is everywhere, who fills everything, He has promised to be in that specific place for the salvation of His people. And what does that now have to do with Psalm 24? So in our psalm, when David calls for the gates to be opened before the King of Glory, he's talking about the Ark itself going to Jerusalem. The psalm is all about worship, going up to Zion. You know, who can go up to the hill of the Lord, to Zion, to the place of worship? Who can do that? And then bringing this Ark of the Covenant in. The gates, see, the gates don't need to be open for God's His presence that is everywhere. The gates need to be open for the Ark of the Covenant and God's specific presence for the salvation of His people. So God, who is the creator and the owner of everything that exists, you think you own it, you don't. It's not your bank account. It's not my bank account. It's God's. He who is the creator and the owner of everything draws near. And He draws near in mercy. The Ark was all about that, as I mentioned before, the Day of Atonement. One day a year they would bring the blood of the sacrifice, and the high priest would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat, on the lid of the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat. And it was as if the blood sprinkled on the top of that golden box, God above would not see the rejection of His commandments, seen in the two tablets there in the Ark. He would not see the rejection of godly leadership as seen in Aaron's rod. He would not see the rejection of His provisions. He would see the blood of atonement. Have you ever experienced ever being around? Have you ever experienced, you know, some BO that was a little too strong? I remember going up when I was working in Washington D.C. After work, I'd always go around and walk as much as I could. And one of the places I walked was this Lutheran church out in Arlington, Virginia. And I was going there one Wednesday. And then I sat down and I finally noticed, I've been wearing these pants all around D.C. I sure hope no one sits next to me in church. Unfortunately, somebody did. So, if you've been around yourself or someone who has had a hard and dirty job, maybe you were like, stay away from me. Go take a shower first. And then, of course, if you're in a group that they all, you know, smell together, like when we're out in the woods with the other soldiers and haven't taken a bath in a couple days or a week or 2 weeks, at least you're all smelling the same, right? That's what it's like with one sinner being with another sinful person. We all have the smell of sin, and we don't notice it as much. But God, who is holy and far above us in His wisdom, in His might, in His very being, comes despite that stench. Isn't that good news? He didn't hold His nose and say, you figure it out. Wash up, and then maybe then I'll receive you. He washes us with the sprinkling of blood. He comes despite our sin. He comes, and that is seen in the ark arriving into Jerusalem. And in a much higher way, it is also happening with our Lord and Savior, as He arrives in His faithfulness and loving kindness. Some of you are aware of your sin at times. Well, we all are, right? Hopefully. And it might ache your conscience at times when memories of sins gone by come up into your thinking. And maybe you grit your teeth. Maybe you wake up in the middle of the night. Maybe it's not sins of long gone by. Maybe it's just sins of yesterday. But today, God comes to you in His mercy, in Jesus Christ, the holy presence of God, sacramentally, in, with, and under the bread and the wine, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for mercy, for forgiveness. And not only does God draw near in mercy, He also draws near in power, right? So the psalm said in verse 8, who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Which, of course, is meant literally, because Israel was a nation and was battling those who were around it. And when they were faithful to God, God was then also faithful to Israel, and He delivered them as a nation again and again. God is still powerful. He's still mighty in battle. And though we cannot see His foots upon the sea, His feet upon the sea, though we certainly can't see His hand visibly in the movement of history, we do know that He still causes nations to rise and to fall in blessing or in judgment. He is mighty so that every single atom in the universe is obedient to His will, and He holds the universe together by the power of His might. He is powerful and great in His love, and He wants something to do with you. So how do we respond? I've read that the rabbis taught that this Psalm 24 was used at the worship in the temple every first day of the week. What's the first day of the week? Sunday, right? So that a last arrival of Jesus, that advent of Jesus into Jerusalem at Holy Week happened on what day? Sunday. We call it Palm Sunday. And so think of it. Think of the text. Lift up your heads, ye mighty gates, that the King of glory may come in. Sunday, Jerusalem, the psalm used in worship at the temple, and there, in person, God arrives, his advent, into Jerusalem for his death for your sins. And yet, while the gates of the city were open, the doors of the hearts of the religious leaders were closed. You know, their heads were not lifted up in expectation and hope. Their heads were lowered down as they huddled together in conspiracy against Jesus. And how about you? How do you hold your head? Are your heads lifted up or are they drawn down? Because sometimes they're drawn down. Sometimes it might be because of inattention. Because we got so many things going on in our life that we don't recognize that everything we're involved with in life, important things, by the way, some not so important, but all those things are nothing compared to the glory and the majesty of the God who comes to us in his mercy. And we let life choke out prayer and Bible study and worship. That should not be. And if it's not bowing our head or in inattention, then at other times our heads can be bowed in guilt because we're looking down at our own chest and seeing there that heart in which not only is God at move, but also we see the reality of our sin. And we contemplate our own guilt. But peace is found, not looking within. Peace is found in this, that we lift up our heads and we see Jesus with the eyes of faith, and know that he has come for us, not against us. Amen. Let us pray to the Lord. Dear God, we recognize that you are burning in your judgments and most gracious in your love. You have given your Son for us, who is holier than the ark. He is true God and reveals you, our Heavenly Father. He has arrived in this world and still comes for our salvation. So give us the confidence in Christ to lift up our heads and receive him who comes in the name of the Lord. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
At this season, when we emphasize peace between God and mankind, we pray that you would be that we would be people of peace. Give us the courage to share the good news of Jesus. Help us also so that we do not fall into the world's hatred, but live in peace with our neighbor as we have the ability to do so. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give wisdom to our president and Congress in these dangerous days, that they neither exhibit needless aggression nor disgraceful weakness. Remind Joe, our president, Mike, our governor, and all world leaders that they cannot throw off your fetters, that they must do justice, and they will kiss the Son in faith or fear on the day of judgment. Lord, in your mercy, preserve your church, O Lord, that she will not fall away from you because she follows the pleasures of this life, nor because of the anxiety of living in cultures that despise her. Give fortitude to laymen and pastors alike that they not become affirming churches except to affirm your word and will for us. Lord, in your mercy, comfort the grieving, especially Barb and Larry, who have both lost sisters, knowing that they are not lost to you. And Heavenly Father, your Son gave sight to the blind, healed the lame, cleansed the leper, raised the dead, preached the good news to the poor, sustain now the sick and the suffering in their trials, especially. We think of Glenn, Karen, Greg, Zena, and our upcoming surgery, Dick, Dina, Gabe, Jeff, Kathy, Jen, Sandy, Peggy, all of our shut-ins. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Amen. We'll have now the presentation of the offering. Please pray with me silently as we confess before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we confess that we are simple people, that we have sinned terribly. We have sinned often. We confess that our repentance is never perfect in this life, nor have we outgrown our need for your forgiveness. We confess that our sins are not just external and easily seen, but also hidden in our hearts, where only you see clearly. You know the various faults that can plague us, like spiritual blindness, greed, jealousy, anger, hate, discontent, impatience, arrogance, lust, strife, pride, unwillingness to forgive, lack of faith, and lack of submission to your will. We're sorry for these and all our sins of thought, word, and deed, and we desire your grace in Christ that we would be forgiven. We plead, Lord, fill us with your Spirit that we may walk in your way, sanctify our hearts, that our lives, as imperfect as they are, would bring glory to your name. We pray silently to the Lord. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant in the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, forgive your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to stand and we continue with the preface. The Lord be with you. Give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptizer prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
thank you.
thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Peace.
Amen. Amen.